really interesting story that began to unfold earlier this week that I was watching. And if you stop and think about it, this is a kind of what would you do in a similar situation. It revolves around this young Oklahoma mom who shot and killed an intruder to protect her baby, a three-month-old baby, right? It happened New Year's Eve, but the story just broke a day or two ago. Anyway, when this happened, it was less than a week after her husband and the father of the baby died of cancer. Her name is Sarah McKinley, and she said that a week earlier, before New Year's Eve, this man named Justin Martin drops by on the day of her husband's funeral, claiming that he was a neighbor and wanted to say hello. So this 18-year-old Oklahoma City mom didn't let him in, didn't want her to come in him to into the house. So on New Year's Day, this guy, Martin, returns with another man. And this time, he's armed with a 12-inch hunting knife. And the two soon begin, listen to this, what would you do here? The two of them, these men, begin trying to break in to her home. Meanwhile, the family dog, which is a German Shepherd, begins to growl at the door.
He was trying to tell me something. So I looked out the door and saw that it was that man. I got the 12-gauge and proceeded to walk back to the bedroom with my son. He was crying at the time, so I put a bottle in his mouth, trying to get him to stop. I got a pistol and called 911 on my cell phone.
I'm here by myself with my infant baby. Can I please get a dispatcher out here immediately?
Okay, hold on.
So she calls 911. Since she lives in the middle of nowhere, that would take a while. So for 20 terrifying minutes, she waited as the intruders tried everything to knock down her door.
The noise of the busting of the doors was worse than any part. That was the scariest. Wondering which time he hit it was going to be the time that he got in.
Yes, I've got two guns in my hand. Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in the store?
Well, you have to do whatever you can do to protect yourself. I can't tell you that you can do that, but you do what you have to do to protect your baby.
I was going to have to choose him or my son, and it wasn't going to be my son, so I did what I had to do.
The minute he broke down the door, she shoots and kills him. The alleged accomplice runs away, but later, Oklahoma, where she is one of the 30 states that has, now this is interesting, what they call the castle doctrine. Basically, your house is your castle, and you have the right to kill to protect yourself. Other states require, say, the owner to somehow, some way, try and retreat, to try to escape, to run away before using deadly force. On our direct phone line now with an insight as to what this law is about and if she might be prosecuted, law professor at SMU, Jeffrey Bellin, good afternoon to you. And how do the laws differ around the country when it comes to this this castle law or this castle doctrine?
Yes, hi Warren, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So you've identified correctly that the law is going to vary based on the state that you're in. And then some states, like Oklahoma, like Texas, have been very assertive about stating kind of this idea that you don't have to retreat at all. So, say, in Texas, even if you're out in public and if you have a lawful right to be wherever you are and someone confronts you in an unlawful manner, in Texas, you wouldn't have any duty to retreat from that spot, say, a barroom stool, and your use of force would be probably deemed justified. But another example, and the most common example of where you have no duty to retreat, is in the states that have created this castle doctrine that you referred to, with a kind of very intuitive idea that why should you have to retreat when you're in your home? That's the last place that you should be asked to retreat to. That's your refuge. That's where you go for safety. You don't retreat from your home. And there's a little bit of a misnomer. I've seen this in the coverage to a large degree. In virtually every state, if you're in your home and someone breaks in, you're going to be justified in shooting that person. And so in the castle doctrine states, it'll clearly be the case that you'll be justified. In the other states, it'll be more a question of did you act reasonably? But anyone, you know, any prosecutor and certainly any jury is going to decide that if someone is breaking into your home, you act reasonably when you repel that with force.
And where was it? In the Bible, in Exodus, that there is the line, a man's house is his castle, and God's law, as well as man's, sets guard upon it. He that assaults it does so at his peril.
Well, and it's interesting, this self-defense doctrine, although there's been recent innovations in the laws in the various states, this is very old doctrine, and the castle doctrine itself comes out of kind of English common law, and there was a change in the law when American courts started interpreting it, and the American courts are much more aggressive about saying, and this is way back, even you know, in the early days of America, about saying, here in America, our culture is such that you're going to have less of a duty to retreat than might have been the case in England.
Professor, has anyone in the United States ever been convicted and sent to prison for shooting someone who's entering their home, their wherever they live?
Well, it's interesting the way you phrase the question, and that's what makes it complicated. Now, if you have a case like this in Oklahoma, where it's a criminal act, someone is breaking into your home, if you are present and you repel that with force and you kill the person, no, there's not going to be a prosecution there. But there are cases where you're mistaken about what the person's intentions are, or really tragically, the police are coming into your home and are lawfully coming into your home, and they're shot. And in these cases, sometimes a co-inhabitant of the house, so your spouse or a roommate is coming in. In those cases, the lines become a lot more blurry, and there have been prosecutions. Although it's not easy to get a conviction in a case like that, those are the types of cases where you'd see legal action.
Well, don't you think the key line would be the occupants of the home must reasonably believe that the intruder intends to inflict serious bodily harm or death upon the occupant of that home?
That's exactly it, Warren. It really comes down to reasonableness, and people kind of want there to be these bright line rules, but the law recognizes that the situations are so numerous that we can't create a line in advance and say this is justified and this is not justified. It's going to come down to what's reasonable under the circumstances, and you know, unfortunately, what that means is that people may not know in advance. And you saw in this case, in the clip you played, the dispatcher can't say, yes, it's okay to then look at the circumstances after the fact, but there'll be a great deal of deference, particularly in a situation like this, where there's a criminal actor coming into the home.
All right, we're out of time now, but I have to ask you about the case, the situation that unfolded back in 2007 in Texas. It revolved around this Joe Horn guy. He was a retired computer technician, and he's watching outside his window. Two people are trying to break into the house next door to his. Someone else is breaking in next door to his, so he calls 911.
I've got a shotgun. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to stop him?
Nope, don't do that. Ain't no property worth shooting somebody over, okay?
I'm not going to let him get away with it. I can't take a chance on getting killed over this, okay?
No,
I'm going to shoot.
So the 911 operator, the 911, begs him not to. And in this clip, you'll hear him. He's going out the door, and he's going to kill these two guys.
Well, here it goes, buddy. You hear the shotgun clicking, and I'm going.
Don't go outside.
Move. You're dead.
Move, you're dead, he says to him. Two shots. What about when someone's breaking in next door, Professor? Can you think that's not coming into your home? He wasn't convicted. But what's the legality of that story?
Right. That was much more questionable. Obviously, yeah. There's a big distinction between that case and the Oklahoma case. And now, interestingly, so I think there was a strong case we made that even under Texas law, that was not a justified killing. But look what happened in that case. The Texas authorities prosecuted Joe
right.
Horn. They didn't even get past the grand jury. They didn't even get the trial. The grand jury refused to indict. And so even if the law says something is not allowed, you know, there's a check on that, a further check, and that's going to be convincing a grand jury, a group of citizens, that we want to criminally prosecute someone who was reacting to a criminal act.
All right, Jeffrey Bellin, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. From SMU, interesting story.